from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If you wrap foil around that, just like the little bit of the base part of the banana where the fruit is, wrap foil around that top and they will last longer.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Who needs your bananas to last longer, though?
Look, I don't want to go to the store every other day for bananas.
They're 8 cents each.
What the hell are you talking about? What is going on?
You're
going
to wrap them in foil?
They're better when they're just a little green. Yeah.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Too much work.
Not that much trouble, Rich.
Too much work.
Says the guy got a spreadsheet with 3,000 fantasy teams.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Sad news at the start. Due to a period of prolonged inactivity, I have been logged out of my betting app.
Really?
Well, that happens, like, what, every half an hour?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you were saying something like more permanent had happened.
No, you're not allowed, as you know probably as well as anyone, you're not allowed to stay logged in.
Right, no.
On your betting app.
Yeah.
Why, that'd be too dangerous?
I don't know. I have no idea what that reasoning is. But, yeah, I know they do.
It's just, you're just that much more susceptible to the clutches of gambling if you have to stay logged in.
I don't know. Maybe
if you can stay logged in.
Maybe there's
what is the dumbest thing ever?
Isn't it possible that you are more susceptible to being hacked if you're just logged into something like that? Like, really, Twitter, anything.
The corporate world would
tell
have you.
That's
say.
What they tell you. They're trying to scare you. They want you to be
scared. No, it's for safety. It's like the NFL. They're trying to tell you that it's for your own benefit.
Right. Abundance of caution.
But Twitter doesn't do that.
No, that's right.
They don't ever log you out.
No.
Right? Ever.
No. You have to do it yourself. Yeah.
You have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
To the extent that if I have to log back in, I'm not going to know how.
Right.
Whenever I get a new phone or something and I have to log back into X, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what my password was. It was 5 years ago, maybe, about more. And so I don't know how to do it. But BetMGM, 10 minutes. Wow, you've been inactive. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be betting like all the time so then I can stay logged in? All I want to do, I don't even want to bet. I just want to know the lines.
Right. You want it.
I just want to know the lines.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to bet, really. Right now, I have no money in it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really want to bet. I just want to know the spreads. We have Joe Ostrowski today. I don't want to be unprepared. But I also know
that logged in to see all that?
No, but if you were logged in and then you open the app, it's the first thing you get. You get the blank screen and it says, due to a period of prolonged inactivity.
Right.
So you know, I click OK, and then I try to log back in. Not that I need to. You're right. I don't need to see the stuff, but I just do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I don't touch it again before Joe comes on, I know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It will be logged out again.
What time's he coming on? Four? Oh, yeah. You'll be logged out three times between now and then.
Three times.
Probably, I'm guessing. Yeah, I don't know. I also do the same thing. I know, even when we're on the show, like when, if we're talking to Joe or Trista or anybody, or just, you know, ourselves, and I want to check something, I know I can go to the app and open it and look at whatever I want to find without logging in, but I always log in anyways.
Always log in.
I don't know.
You don't have to do anything.
On my phone, it's so easy because it's just it's facial recognition. The iPad is a little older, so it's a little trickier.
For me, it's a fingerprint.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
So you just do it. Why wouldn't you?
Right. Although lately, I don't need to go any deeper on this. That app, my FanDuel app, is doing this little thing where it prompts me to log back in, but then the next thing that happens before I get the login screen is you're currently logged out. I'm like, yeah, I know that. You just told me to log in.
You did it.
And so you're currently logged out. Okay, got it. And then it starts all over again. And then it's fine. Like, it takes 3 seconds to alleviate that, but it's a little inconvenient.
Well, here's the update. I have logged in.
Congratulations.
Down to 6.
Bills, Cardinals?
Yeah. 6-48. 27-21. How would that feel?
Fine.
Fine?
Yeah.
Just win?
Yeah.
10-9.
Not as good.
What if the Bills beat the Cardinals 10-9?
Not as good.
What does the postgame show sound like?
Working out the kinks.
You want a high-scoring game,
right? A lot of kink talk.
Talk. You want a high-scoring game. If it's going to be close.
Just for entertainment value's sake?
Entertainment, but no.
Also, our offense is still functional.
Feel better? Or am I wrong there? Or is, what's better for week one? 10-9? Imagine 10-9. Perfect day.
Yeah.
And the Bills beat the Cardinals 10-9. Nobody's happy. The Cardinals are not happy. Marvin Harrison, Kyler Murray. Here we go.
They flew all the way here and everything. Yeah,
that's it.
That'd be tough.
And I mean, 10-9 is ridiculous for 48. What isn't? 20-17, something like that. It's sort of a normal score, normal football game score.
Yeah.
Does that probably feel good?
I don't know. Depends. Did I bet on the Bills -6?
All right, leave that out. Leave out the bet on the Bills. The premise here is you like the Bills,
right?
And you feel like Jim Nance is ready to fight people again that they're still in the Super Bowl window.
Okay.
So what does 20-17, somebody says it's the NFL, you should never complain about a win.
I don't think I would be inclined to complain about 20-17. In fact, I think I might want to punch back at people, even you, who would be complaining about 20-17. Honestly.
I don't think I would be. I don't know that I would be.
Yeah.
I might be.
I didn't mean to say that if you were inclined to be, I think I might want to punch, figuratively speaking. I don't want to punch really anyone anymore, ever. Again.
You'd want to be.
Yeah, come on.
You want to defend them.
It's week one. It's fine. They do have a lot of new moving parts. And so to me, 10-9 would just be feeble and sort of because I don't know. Is Arizona, I know they've got, Murray can be an explosive playmaker, and they've got maybe a guy that is extremely highly thought of as a new receiver and other good skill guys. Is their defense supposed to be stalwart or something? I don't think I would feel real great about I don't feel great about 20, but at least 20 would be, I probably scored a touchdown, maybe two.
Well, you better get in shape because 2 weeks from tonight is the opener. 2 weeks from tomorrow, which also is, by the way, Packers-Eagles in Brazil. But that's picks. I mean, it's time. Well, I have to be me here. It's not time. It will be time in 2 weeks. It's close.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's accurate. It's close. The 6-point spread is the second highest number on the board for week one.
Who has a bigger one? I've not looked at the schedule.
You're telling me you have not prepared yet for picks. In week one. I believe you.
I have a whole week off next week.
This is what you'll be doing all week.
Oh yeah, I'll be sitting on a beach with like a drink and a coconut, and in
it'll be Woodlawn.
In Woodlawn, yeah, yes. In like Lackawanna. Basically.
It'll be Woodlawn Beach.
But
nothing against
still,
it.
Still, I'm going to bring my own coconuts if I have to.
Yes, you will.
And just studying these spreads and getting ready for picks.
Yes, 9 is the one spread greater than the Bills being 6-point favorites against Arizona, and that is Cincinnati at home against New England.
All right.
Would you do that?
I might do that. Yeah, I don't know. I'll see. I have not looked at the board yet, so I'm not sure what my favorite four NFL games will be, plus a college game. Who's Hawaii play in week 2? I'll get it together though. I don't know about, it depends. It always depends on what the rest of the games look like.
Sure.
Would I do that? I am pretty bullish on Cincinnati. I think they'll be pretty good.
Does it matter to you who starts for New England? I have said all summer, watch out, like Bills fans, watch out if they do start with May. Because he really would have had to win the job for them to do that, because every sign pointed to Brissett. And maybe it still does look like that Brissett will start the season.
Yeah.
But if May just beats him out, and any plan that Brissett is just sort of the safer, the slow play option, and just gets blown up because they think, Brissett, so far in the preseason, you watched their last game, so far in the preseason, he's been rough.
He's been, I'd say, terrible.
But you know who he is. Like, you wouldn't assume necessarily he'd be terrible in the regular season. You sort of have a baseline idea. Mm-hmm. But the other part of that would be May. Well, I don't think he's been amazing, but good enough.
Yeah, he only had one series in their first game. I've watched both of their games. You're right. He largely because I wanted to see him play. And the first game was a letdown. I mean, Brissett played a series, May played a series, and it was Bailey Zappi time, and the crowd's booing because they want to see May, and they also hate Zappi.
Then
they got Milton, and Milton looked really good in week 1. Anyway, May, it wasn't, to me, like Bo Nix is just undeniable. He's going to get the job. He looks great. He's had these preseason outing. May was, he did some nice things, but it wasn't like, oh my God, I got to get this guy on the field. I wouldn't say it just looked, it looked good. So I don't know if he supposed to play this week for them too.
I don't know.
Because I don't know, maybe he can still wiggle in there. I mean, they are leaving the door open, but it really, the whole time it has sounded to me like they're leaving the door open, but Gerard Mayo is it's open, but his foot is on it behind. He's just like ready to push. As soon as May tries to push on it, he's going to slam it on him. That's how it has felt to me anyway.
Actually, I should remember yesterday's show and say I do think that I do know.
Okay.
It'll be May because they play Sunday night on NBC.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And NBC's press release said May versus Daniels.
May versus Daniels.
And I don't think they would do that if there were any chance, if they knew, especially if they knew, but if they thought it was possible that Drake May would not play in the game or that Daniels would not play in the game. New England is favored by 4 Sunday night in Washington, which is more of an indication that he does play. And that maybe they think he plays more than Daniels for New England to be a 4-point favorite. Like this Bills game, Carolina is favored by 4.5.
Playing their starters.
Playing their starters and the Bills not.
Right.
Like that's just what that is. Road, everything, just doesn't matter. Carolina, Pittsburgh was favored by 4.5 last week. They played their starters and Allen sat, and they lost 9-3. So, it doesn't have to be right. We know this stuff. We know that much. Also, it's coming close, everybody, right? Fantasy drafts, picks, survivor pools.
Yeah.
So,
Speaking of Joe Ostrowski,
speaking of who are the biggest favorites, Cincinnati at -9 will easily be the chalk pick in week 1 in Survivor, and you probably want to avoid the chalk picks because if they were to lose, 80% or some number like that of the field goes away, and suddenly you're in good with a lot of money at stake in the pool, and it's only week 2. So I would want to not pick if it came to be week 1 and this is what it was, The Bengals are the biggest favorite at -9. The Bills are the second biggest favorite at -6. And then there are some fours and fives. I would want to play in there. It wouldn't feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But I would want to play in there and then hope for that money's purposes that the Bengals lose the game. So get ready. I mean, guys, 2 weeks.
I had never been in a survivor pool prior to last year, and I was in Joe Ostrowski's survivor pool. And I remember as it started, like, I don't know how, I don't even remember how many weeks I rode, but I felt good. I'm like, I love this. I've never done this before. I'm into week five, maybe. And like, I don't remember who I picked that blew it, but I was like, oh, that ended quickly. I did not make it much further than week four or five, I don't think.
But. Survivor pools are fun, but you have to be, just like, you know, fantasy tournaments are like this, you have to be willing to gamble, or else how am I going to beat 500 people? Especially when they're like the last one I did was local, and people would have, like, their dogs would be in it. You know, hey, $10, survivor pool. And then you open up the spreadsheet, and it's them, their wife, their kids, their dog, their mom, their dad. And, you know, just, I don't want to play against that because you're just going to probably pick all these different teams as it gets later and give yourself, who knows if the dog is even making their own picks?
Probably not. I'm skeptical about the dog making the picks.
I don't want to be in those pools.
You can't fool me. I've been at this a long time.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
you know.
I don't think the dog is actually making the picks.
You can't play against that.
Nor your cat. I mean, we're not buying it, people.
You invite me to a survivor pool, that's my first question. Is it single entry?
Right.
If it's single entry, great.
Right.
I mean, people will still team up. And you can't just control all of that. Right. I like to control everything. You can't control all of that. But I'm not playing against, you know, extended family here.
Yeah.
You know, come on. Because you're just going to pick every team and make sure, you know, you have live bullets.
Right.
I can't play against that. I'm getting ready. Joe is coming on today. I'm getting ready for it. I'm just sort of excited. The juices are flowing to talk some spreads and some futures.
All right, there's games tonight.
There are two games tonight.
One of them's on Prime. Is that Al and Herb Street? Like, is this their pre? Like, you mentioned yesterday how the number one crew from NBC is going to do this Sunday night game that they're promoting with Daniels and May. I'm still very curious. I think you're probably right, but I'm just really curious to see if these guys actually play. Like, I'm not sure I want to take the press release as gospel. But the point is, the number one crew's doing the game, so I would assume Prime. That do they have a second crew? I would expect it's going to be Al and Herbie there, probably. But I don't know for sure.
I don't know. I think it's the preseason. Teams have their local broadcasts, too. Like, the Bengals will have their own broadcast.
But is Prime going to simulcast one of those? I mean, they certainly could, but probably shouldn't. I that would be odd. Yeah, these Patriots games I've been watching the last 2 weeks on NFL Network have been the Patriots telecast.
I am seeing on Bengals.com that Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit, Kaylee Hartung tonight. Oh, I've got the deep end then. I'm so in. I want that. I'm ready. I'm so ready for Al. Top 10 things you're ready for. 1, survivor pools. 2, Joe Ostrowski. 3, Al. 4, tailgates, you know, sausages on the grill in the parking lot.
Oh, sure.
We had a taste of that today.
Yeah, I've got a plate of leftovers. I missed the picnic.
The company picnic.
Yeah.
It was fun. Cornhole.
I hate to miss cornhole.
Do you?
Yeah. Love cornhole. Miss cornhole. It was a beach house. Listen to me. You know, when we were in the Mediterranean, it was a cottage.
You were, though.
It was a cottage. Sure. Yeah.
At least.
It was a cottage staple, cornhole. I didn't play any cornhole in Spain on the Mediterranean.
Do they have it?
I didn't see it. I saw no evidence
of cornhole. It feels like it's probably an American thing.
Yeah.
Cornhole. Little wooden boxes. You throw a beanbag into it.
Yeah.
You know, in Spain, they have bull riding.
Yeah, that's
I don't think
true.
It feels like this is an American. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it doesn't feel like something. They have bocce in Italy.
Sure,
a little bit more skill involved in that. A little bit more strategy. There's no strategy in cornhole.
No.
No. We played. We didn't play the rule that you had to land on the exact number, which I've played that, where you have to get to exactly 21,
okay,
not just past 21,
okay,
or past 20. So we didn't play that. There would be that's more like darts, where there would be strategy in that.
Right.
Is there strategy in bull riding? I'm not sure I know if there is. There probably is, but I don't know.
I think there can be strategy in cornhole. I played some cornhole a couple of weeks ago. I went to a cookout at an old high school friend of mine's house, and they had cornhole set up, and it was raining. This is how much I miss cornhole. It was raining, but I played cornhole in the rain because I wanted to play so badly. And if one of the beanbags is sort of on the edge of the hole, like it's like half in and half out,
mm-hmm.
like that's not a three. You got to go through.
That's right.
And if you got to be careful there. It depends on how many. Like if it's your last throw,
you might not want to go after it.
I don't want to go after the hole because I'm going to throw yours in. I even want to be careful about hitting the board.
Well,
depends on the score, but that's strategy.
The better player you are, the more strategy might exist. That might exist.
Sure.
But you can't, I mean, I'm not good enough to like, sir, I'm just going to hit the front of the board. I tried that a couple of times today. My partner and I, Sam Rich, lost in the finals. And so there were a couple of those exact situations. I missed short because you don't want to have happen what you said,
mm-hmm.
where you knock the other guy's beanbag into the hole for 3 points.
Right. I mean, they're already sitting on two, but still, I don't want to give them three.
But I'm not good enough to be able to sort of like, all right, well, I'll just land this one on the front.
Yeah. Well, I'm not either, but I'm still going to try.
Yeah, like,
I'm
going
to strive for it. And it's like golf. I mean, I'm not good enough to put it 10 feet from the cup, but I'm aiming 10 feet from the cup, or maybe at the cup. I'm going to try to hit it there, but it's probably going to go on the Skajakwita.
I'm not buying that.
Not buying what?
That you're going to hit the Skajakwita.
Well,
you're better than that.
I've come pretty close a couple times. But
how are we to cornhole already?
I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know.
The picnic.
You brought up the picnic. You had sausages on the grill, the picnic, and then here
we had a really cool thing at the company picnic today, and it was, I believe it was our colleague Amanda's idea. So I'm on the fun team. It's the fun team that puts all this stuff on, the Halloween party, the gift exchange, all of this. It's the responsibility of the fun team, and I'm a proud member.
I like the fact that the show is represented on the fun team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody else from the station is even on the fun team, but I'm happy to be on it. But it was that week when I was like, I couldn't text or anything when mm-hmm. I was in Canada, and there was just no service.
Right.
And I missed the email where she asked everybody one thing about yourself that no one else would know or guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then we had a little matchup where it was all list of employees, you saw it, and then all these other fun facts about them, but you don't know who's what.
So you got to play a little match game with them. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would have liked to play in that. I did play in the competition of guessing, but, you know, I didn't win.
Right.
But that would have been, that's kind of a fun thing that other people might like to use at their parties is everybody submit one little factoid about themselves.
That was a cool idea. Yeah.
That was a cool idea.
Yeah. I was here when that email came. I didn't do anything with it. But
no,
you didn't. No,
I did not see your name on there. What would you have put? What's something about you that nobody would have known?
That our coworkers wouldn't know? Huh. I don't know because, you know, do they listen? I mean, you're not going to probably slip I collect guitars past people or that I really liked golf. You know what maybe would have been good? I used to own a motorcycle.
Okay.
Because that's a long time ago now, and maybe I would have gone with that.
Okay. I mean, I would have known.
You would have known, but I don't know how many other people here would have known.
Our next guest did participate in that, and his was that he plays the drums.
And the spoons.
And I knew that Sal played the drums. So I remember I was in a conversation where everybody's like, that's something you could have known. He's not been shy about.
That's right.
About telling you that.
His Twitter bio, I believe, says drummer.
Yes. That's something you could have known.
It is in there, yes.
Sal Capaccio coming up. The Bills practice today. Are things trending up on the injury front? We'll talk about that. Also, Saturday's game, Carolina playing starters against the Bills. Seems sort of like a little bit obnoxious. Joe Ostrowski at 4, BetQL, as we get closer to the NFL season. Jahan Dotson, a first-round pick wide receiver 2 years ago, or three. was traded to...
He's played two seasons.
So 3 years ago, was traded to Philadelphia, and, you know, with all the discussion about the Bills and wide receiver, we'll spend some time on that one, too, and see whether or not Philadelphia made a move worth doing. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, back with Sal after this break on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Well, just on a personal note, Bulldog running into trouble at the office because of the picnic. There are people here today, and Bulldog is having a difficult time navigating that.
Twice already, the start of the show and just now the first commercial break, I'm out there talking, and like, what time is it? I gotta go. Mid-story, I just went, I gotta go, and just ran away just now, because, you know.
I mean, way back when, this used to be the case, where you'd have people around.
My internal clock is broken, because... there, you know, really, most days we're here, you walk out of here, there's no one to talk to or see, so, you know, it's not hard to get back in here on time. There's no distraction at all. Now, like, even it's just like three people, but still, hey,
it's enough.
How's it going? What's going on?
It's enough.
How do you like your new windows?
They want to know about your life.
Right.
Sal Capaccio with us here on the West Her Hotline. As we mentioned before, everybody at the picnic today became familiar with the reality that Sal is a drummer. And I got to tell you, there were plenty of people who were stumped by that.
No. You see, you guys, you're making, like, you're kind of making fun of me about this, and I need to defend myself for a second. I did not, right? If you read what it says I not only play the drums, because I know people know that. The point was because I was saying I also play the spoons, because I wanted to, if I was at the picnic, people were like, oh, what is that? And I would say, like, this is how you play the spoons, and you hold one in your, between your thumb and your your pointer finger, and you hold the other between your pointer finger and your middle finger, and you put them together, and you play them, and you have a hand and a knee, and you do like that. I know people know that. It wasn't the point of pointing that out.
No, I'm saying I don't think that many people did, as many as you might think. Because
you guys are like, well, he's not shy about it. It's on his Twitter profile. Big deal.
I'm just saying, with any research, you could have found out pretty easily whether Sharon Metz paraglided in the French Alps. You know, that might not be something you could just go find out. You go to Sal's Twitter, it says this. It says drummer.
Yeah.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Which is why I didn't make it as the base point of the whole point.
Right, but you gave people a clue, like drummer.
Sure.
I didn't even read after drummer.
I knew immediately.
I looked at the sheet and I saw, in addition to being a drummer, I'm like, well, that's Sal.
Me too.
You buried the spoons.
It's because we know each other better than these other people. I don't know these other people. I don't know any of them, some of them at all. Like, who's into hot yoga? Who can swallow fire? I didn't know any of these things about our coworkers until today.
I should have just said I'm an amazing parallel parker, so I don't know.
Wow. This is getting off to a difficult start.
Did you know I used to have a motorcycle? Because
I think I knew that. Okay. I mean, I think you had to have had that when I've known you.
I think. I got rid of it in like 2015, maybe.
Exactly. Yes.
But you know, Mike asked, like, what would I put down? And like, I'm not guitar, golfing, but my kid used to be a goalie. Like, these are things that, you know, have come up frequently.
Yes.
I thought the motorcycle was long enough ago. Maybe that would have been what I would have went with. Like, I used to own a Harley. I don't know.
Common knowledge.
Yeah.
I would have put the tuba. For myself.
Tuba, nice.
Playing all county tuba for 7 years or whatever it is. Like, you know, some people know that.
Let's get it together. All county tuba player, spoons, and guitar. Let's go.
We should have Emmett Otter. All we need is Emmett Otter.
I was just going to say Emmett Otter's jug band. I love
right.
it.
Yes.
See, we're back on track. By the way, I wish I would have been there today. I had to cover practice. I couldn't be there, but it sounded like it was a hoot.
You're saying you were quote working. That's fine. That makes sense. That's believable. It's true. I was going to use Aaron Judge to get us back feeling good about each other, but, you know, I can save Aaron Judge. I mean, Aaron Judge,
oh man,
38, wow, two home run games already in it, not this season, in his career.
This season.
Did you see this one, Sal?
Not a lot, yeah.
He is the fastest to do that by 170 games.
I did not. It's amazing. I did see Jeff Passan with the stat of the no one has slugged at a higher rate this late in the season who hasn't been linked to steroids. He added that in there since Ted Williams. Like, the numbers he is putting up are just unbelievable right now.
Ralph Kiner is the second fastest player in history to hit 38 two home run games. Judge had one last night or yesterday, whenever the game was. Kiner in 1,130 games, Judge in 960.
I know we have Bill stuff to get to, but did either of you see the story about the Little League coach from Staten Island who was mad at Judge because they played in the Little League Classic? I don't know, was that last week or over the weekend? I don't know the timing. Anyway, and this coach from the Staten Island team was mad. They got to meet with Aaron Boone and a few other players. Judge was visiting with lots of players, but I guess did not specifically seek out this Staten Island team. And then during the game, the story I read, Sal, said that the players on the Staten Island team were calling out to Judge, and he ignored them because he was in the on-deck circle getting ready to go bat in a game that I believe counted in the standings. And the coach is mad that he didn't turn around and, like, wave at them or say hi. And, like, what the hell are you doing, dude? Like, the guy's playing the game. Like, you had all your time earlier. Like, sorry he didn't get over there and smile for everyone. But the coach is like, well, these kids pay your salary. And, like, dude,
yeah,
what are you doing?
When I read that line, I'm like, oh, this is the right, the person that a lot of us run into. They pay your salary, right? And the Yankees, it was such a big deal that the Yankees had to issue a statement.
I saw.
And they read, they said, Aaron Judge always acts with kindness and respect, and then wrote, the coach could learn a lot from him.
That is so bad.
Right.
You know, the world was so much better when, in situations like this, the team would not say anything because they knew it was too stupid for words. But here, you know, the Yankees feel like they have to apologize, not apologize for it, but sort of defend themselves. Anyway, The Bills play Carolina on Saturday afternoon in their final preseason game. No starters for the Bills, which we've known since Monday. Carolina, though, I think this is a little bit obnoxious. They're like, no, we will play our starters. Maybe they feel like they can get some momentum going for the regular season, Sal, against a wounded Bills team that has already sort of decided not to take the game as seriously. What do you think of what Carolina has decided?
Well, I'm surprised, first of all, but after digging into it a little bit, apparently the reason is because they haven't really had a lot of reps as a team. And they, because of injuries they've had, and they want more reps. This is a young team, obviously a very young quarterback, in Bryce Young, and they feel that they need to put him on the field at some point. So I'm looking, but it does say preseason here. I'm looking at their numbers. Oh, this is 20. Let me just look at 24. Here's this year's stats for them. He has not thrown a pass, so I don't think he's played yet.
Yeah, I think the Bryce starters Young, so have not played. I heard is that Canales. It's a new system too, that, with the new coach, mm-hmm. obviously. He had thought about playing starters earlier in the preseason, but was waiting on a couple of guys that were injured to come back. Like, if we're going to do this, let's do it with as many guys as we can. And so that just happened to time out where they're getting a couple of guys back. I'm not sure who, linemen or what exactly, but that they've got more of what they'll have on the field in September ready to go now than they did even a week ago. So that's a part of the logic, I think.
Agreed. And it's like, same thing, like, hey, when you're not going to put Josh Allen out there with the backup line, right? You're just not going to do that. So they didn't want to put Bryce Young out there with a couple of guys that, hey, we got to make sure we have a majority of our starters out there, whatever. So I think it's still risky, but I understand it. It doesn't mean I necessarily have to agree. It's the same thing when anybody, whether it's Sean McDermott or Andy mm-hmm. Reid, plays, Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, you're like, do you really need to do this?
So as far as today goes, you know what? Before I ask this question, the Carolina, they're not the only team playing starters in week three. There are plenty of teams doing that week three of the preseason. And nobody is a fan of the preseason, really. It's really just get through it. But from going from four games to three, there's a little bit, it seems like the league is willing to put a little bit more strategy into it. Last week, I kind of felt like everybody was going to play starters, and then I realized that that was not true. I mean, plenty of teams didn't. The Bills might have with Allen, but for the weather.
The rest of the starters mostly.
The rest
played,
of the starters did. Pittsburgh's guys did. So at least we have that, Sal. I mean, maybe we'll get to two preseason games as soon as next year and won't have this anymore, but at least there's some variety in how teams play things in the preseason, which there, heretofore really wasn't.
I think it's kind of fascinating how every team goes about it a little bit differently. Now, let's remember, though, when they went to three, they shaved off the final game. They didn't start. They didn't go 1-2-3 and then regular. It's 1-2-3 week off, then regular season. And so, therefore, it's still the same amount of time as the old days, quote unquote, when you'd play your starters in the third preseason game, rest them for the fourth. There's no change there if you're doing that. I think the change has come in, though, where there's less time, so you have to kind of figure out strategically when do you want to do that and how much time do you want to leave. And every team's different on that. You still have teams like the Arizona Cardinals, who the Bills are playing week one, who are not playing, at least Kyler Murray. I mean, maybe other starters, but I know Kyler Murray has not and will not be playing in the preseason. His first action will be week one against the Buffalo Bills.
I would bet if we do get to the 18-game season, which is how you'd get to two preseason games only, that the timing of them, the second preseason game, I think, would still be this weekend. Like, assuming the schedule still begins after Labor Day, there's been some talk about maybe changing that at some point. And I don't know, maybe that's up for discussion if they go to 18 games eventually. But I would bet you wouldn't want to start the preseason as early as you have been with only two games and then have, 2 weeks off before you start.
Right.
That doesn't seem ideal. So
I don't think the NFL wants to do that. They want to maximize the calendar. And it's even weird there's a week without NFL because you do have college football, which owns, this weekend, really, they start, but next weekend, Labor Day weekend. So I wonder how they would do it, too.
All right, let's get to today. The injury news maybe is getting a little bit better, starting at the safety position, Sal, right?
Yeah, Mike Edwards did more today. Kind of basically like a full participant. It's a lighter practice, but doing more. And he said after practice that he believes he'll be okay for week one. Like, that's his plan, to play in week one. And I think the biggest news, though, of today was Sean McDermott acknowledging that he said everyone other than Matt Milano, of course, has a chance to play week one. He's not ruling out anybody. That includes Curtis Samuel, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, everybody. And I think that's big for the head coach to say that. And it goes back to something I've said to you guys, and I've been saying on the radio here for, you know, about a week and a half, which is, look, I mean, yes, we know they have more injuries, it seems like, than normal. I don't even know if the data is perfectly right on that. It seems like that's the case. But every year, they kind of play it this way where they go the long game, they back off, and by week one, we're like, oh, okay, those guys are all coming back, everything's good. And it feels like that's going to happen again this year.
Yeah, and that certainly is got to be welcomed at safety, Sal. I mean, that was getting pretty kind of precarious, I think, with the season, you know, still a couple of weeks off, but, you know, you had guys here who just have not practiced in, I don't know, 3 weeks almost or more.
Yeah, and today, actually, another safety is down, and that is Terrell Burgess, one of the players they signed a few weeks ago, guys, when they had this situation to start with Bishop and Edwards. He had a strained hamstring, has one, so he did not practice today. So you are down one safety, although you did get Mike Edwards to do a little bit more. Cole Bishop, another day in his recovery. Damar Hamlin, another day in his recovery. So more guys are trending in the right direction as opposed to one guy who is not. Taron Johnson did not practice today with a quad injury, but, you know, just don't worry about that right now. Sean McDermott said that's more preventative than anything with Johnson. So they held him back today. So I don't think there's anything really to be concerned with. And Will Clapp is in concussion protocol. He is an offensive lineman who I think, you know, we talked yesterday about is interesting right there, kind of to me on the bubble as far as, mm-hmm. you know, on the roster or off.
Would Edwards be the starter, if he were healthy, like if he is ready, does it depend on other injuries? Does he go right in? Because I know not just the last few days, but going back even into the spring, he was not able to be on the field. Do you think like that's what the Bills would prefer?
I do. I mean, Sean McDermott said, you know, maybe 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, that, you know, when they signed Mike Edwards, the plan was for him and Taylor Rapp to be the starting safeties. And they signed him, and he had been recovering from a shoulder injury, and they knew that. So he was going to miss OTAs and a lot of minicamp. And then he got back a little bit, mandatory minicamp, but then all of a sudden the other injury pops up during training camp, and that wasn't planned, obviously. So there's where he's lost time. In the meantime, Cole Bishop winds up getting hurt. Now, I think this comes down to really which guy you can kind of get back healthier, quicker, and able to do all the things you need to do in your defense. All things being equal, they'd probably prefer that to be Mike Edwards because Cole Bishop is a rookie, mm-hmm. and at least Mike Edwards has been around even, you know, similar systems. He's been in this league. He's seen it. You don't have to put as much on Cole Bishop's plate. Even if Cole Bishop is healthy and ready to go, maybe the ideal scenario is you still kind of work him in and put him in spot duty where you need to play him until he gets more and more comfortable in the defense. Whereas I think Mike Edwards, you could probably feel a little more comfortable saying, okay, he's a starter. He's started in this league. We can put him out there. He's got experience. There's more that we can do with here.
Yeah, I feel like the plan probably all along, you've talked like this, would have been to get Bishop in something of a hybrid role, maybe mm-hmm. similar to what Poyer was doing last year, out of necessity and linebacker injury, but also maybe partially at least because of Poyer just, you know, whatever, slowing down to an extent. And so if Bishop hadn't been hurt, obviously he would have gotten a big opportunity with Edwards sidelined. But if everyone's healthy, I would have expected them to sort of try to find a role for Bishop. And if he really accelerated, right, if he shined in that, then okay, maybe feed him a little more and then maybe he can win the job. But now with all the time lost, I would just expect them to try to find, all right, here's a package. We can, you know, you can get ready for this and understand what we're going to ask you to do in these certain, you know, position groupings and go from there with him, I think.
Yeah, and I think Sean said it with you guys when he was on the other day. He said on Tuesday something about, you know, figuring out if Bishop can be first and second down or third down mm-hmm. or how much they can give him and what packages they can put him in. I also think the injury to Matt Milano plays a factor here, right? When Matt Milano went out last year, they had to kind of be creative in how they did this. And that was one of the reasons they eventually went to, you know, Poyer playing that role at the end of the year as well. So now that Matt Milano is out now, you know, what does that look like? Are you going a little bit more towards a dime defense right away? Are you putting that extra defensive back on the field? What can Dorian Williams give you on third down? Are you willing to, you know, live with that, or does he have to come off the field? So I think, you know, Bishop obviously becomes someone you look at in that situation as well.
If there isn't any more team news today, I want to ask you a league question, but is there any more team news you want to mention?
Any more team news? I don't think so. Okay. I'm trying to think real quick. No, today was the last official day of training camp, just so you know.
All right. QB2. Anything new on that? We've got DiNucci.
No, we're still waiting. That's look, I mean, he's in that bucket, though, with McDermott saying that that's a good point, Mike. Like, McDermott's saying that he wouldn't rule anybody out week one other than Matt Milano right now. You got to put Trubisky in that bucket, which is interesting.
Right. I'm wondering how you feel about the wide receiver holdouts or hold-ins, if you need it, that are happening around the league. It's 2 weeks now to Ravens Chiefs. Lamb, Ayuk, Chase, you know, guys who in different ways have stayed off the field. When do you get, maybe you'd already be nervous if you're a fan of any of these teams. When does it get scary, if it ever does?
For me, not until they miss a game. And then you're like right there on Saturday. And I mean, we've seen, even going back to when the CBA was way different, you know, in the 90s and early 2000s, and there might have been a guy that, oh, is he going to be there? Is he going to show up? And then suddenly, like, that week, hey, he's ready to rock and roll.
Bruce Smith in the summer of 97 signed the day before the opener against the Vikings and then played.
Yeah, they got killed.
And he had held out the entire summer.
But they got killed.
So
that's not the point.
I would say the guy I think of for this last year is Chris Jones. He did miss week one.
Yeah.
Right? Didn't he? I think if I remember right, he missed week one.
Yes, he did.
And then he signed. Like, even if it's week one, right? Like, even if it's you miss week one, like, I don't, I guess I get worried if I'm a fan of that team. Like, are they going to miss the opener? But generally, these guys, they wind up coming back. Everything works out. They sort themselves out. When's the last, I guess Le'Veon Bell you could look at as a guy who actually did sit out like quite a bit of the season recently.
Yeah. The Chiefs were playing like 3D chess last year. They lost the opener on purpose so that Jones, the organization would feel compelled to meet Jones's demands and get him in. So Mahomes purposely threw that pick six.
So they got to, off Kadarius Toney's hands?
Yes. Yes.
So they got to come here in the playoffs and do something they hadn't done before?
Toney was in on it too.
Everybody was in on it. The Bills did get crushed. That's your game with your then girlfriend or fiance,
right? That
or
was
wife.
My
that Vikings
we've
game.
Been together. Ever
you guys
since.
Remember when Emmitt Smith held out, and then the Bills beat Dallas, and Dallas dropped to like 0-2, and then all of a sudden Emmitt Smith was back too, right?
That's right. Matt Darby, the Matt Darby game.
Yeah,
right. There it is.
Did you see the report? I saw. I don't know if this was last night or this morning. Chase, if this is correct, is looking to like go hard. Up to number one, like average annual value. Like it's a big number. And the Bengals, I mean, the Bengals are the Bengals. Like the whole time I've been worried about them. I'd be worried if I were a Bengals fan. Like, are we going to keep up? Does our owner have enough money in the bank to like escrow this? Like, can we play this game that everyone else in the league is playing? And Chase is taking that to the test.
Okay, so this is a good, you know, yeah, I'll tell you, the report came from Richard Skinner of ESPN 1530, and I believe that's, I'm guessing Cincinnati, that he's heard Ja'Marr Chase and his camp are looking at for a four-year deal in the $160 million range with 120-ish guaranteed. Justin Jefferson got 110 guaranteed. So he's looking for like $10 million more than Justin Jefferson guaranteed. Yes, that is a massive contract. And I'm going to spin this to the Bills, which is, this is partly why I think the Bills are doing what they're doing at wide receiver, which is they just don't want to play in that playground right now. Like,
right.
They don't want to have to be the team shelling out $100+ million guaranteed to a wide receiver. Now, of course, if Keon Coleman just becomes amazing, you have 3 years to figure it out. And by then, who knows? It's 150, 160, 200 guaranteed. Right. You tackle that then. But I just think right now, the Bills are not of the appetite to be in this type of wide receiver market.
Quick little nugget on the game Bulldog mentioned, the Vikings and the Bills. This is the 1997 opener. I'm not sure how many Bills games have ever been played in August, but that was August 31st, I believe. Who was the Vikings punter?
Reggie Roby.
Incorrect.
No, sorry.
Randall Cunningham.
He's the first punter I could think of. Get the hell out of here.
Punted four times, 65-yarder, returned by Steve Tasker. Punted the next week, too. He was just Brad Johnson was the quarterback.
Wow.
Cunningham was the Vikings punter. Did that last all year? I don't think it did.
That's insane.
That's good, right?
Yeah, that is good.
That's pretty good. All right, Sal. At least we gave you that. Maybe we gave you a hard time, but at least we gave you that.
It's all good. I'll play spoons for you sometime.
Spoons. Let's go.
I look forward to some spoons. All right. Sal's appearance with us, by the way, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I remember Randall Cunningham punting like now and then. Didn't he have like a 90-yard punt or something for the Eagles once too?
That sounds somewhat familiar. Maybe even like surprise punt, like third down punt even. Maybe.
He could do it.
Yeah.
1997, he punted 8 times. It was only the first 2 weeks. Maybe they had an injury.
Yeah, I don't know.
And they just...
I did not remember that.
It's pretty good.
I remember a lot of things about that. Like the 24 hours around that game, but not the game so much. But
you know. Bruce had 2 sacks.
Welcome back, Bruce.
Starship 12.
Starship 12.
I'm telling you, every quarterback has one nickname you just never even thought of or heard ever once. Rambling Randall. We did Cunningham when this came up a few weeks ago, I think.
I feel like Starship 12. Eagles, Starship 12. That's not the first time I've heard Starship 12.
We did him.
So maybe we're being redundant here.
Yeah. QB Eagles, we talked about that. Like whether that's from the video game.
Yeah, Tecmo Bowl probably. Yeah.
All right. Joe Ostrowski makes his triumphant return as we get closer to the NFL season. 2 weeks and 4 hours or whatever it is. Can't wait to talk to Joe. BetQL Daily, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. That's next here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.